Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear six passages, A through F. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 13 through number 24. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Three Sisters. For centuries, Native Americans all over North America grew corn, beans, and squash, which were often called the Three Sisters. The Three Sisters were planted together because of the strong benefits that the combination brings. When beans are grown with corn, the corn provides support for the beans as they climb up to get more sunlight. Additionally, squash keeps weeds away, and beans increase the amount of the beneficial chemical nitrogen in the soil. To make the combination work, however, planting each crop at the time when it will most help the others is essential. In the distant past, Native American farmers were even able to grow the Three Sisters in the desert areas of the American Southwest. But unfortunately, most of this knowledge has been lost. Some Native Americans are currently working to rediscover the techniques that would allow them to grow the vegetables in very dry conditions.
Questions. Number 13. What is one thing that we learn about growing the Three Sisters? Number 14. What are some Native Americans trying to do now?
B. Children in cities. In previous generations, children generally had more freedom to explore their surroundings. These days, parents commonly prohibit children from taking walks, crossing streets, or even playing at playgrounds unsupervised. Author Tim Gill argues children today would benefit from being allowed to do things on their own. However, he acknowledges that since modern cities have become increasingly dangerous places, it is difficult for parents to avoid setting strict rules for children. Gill believes design is the key to making cities child-friendly. Cities are currently designed to allow people to travel easily by car, but cars are one of the greatest threats to children's safety. Rather than simply building more playground spaces, Gill wants to make cities safer for children to move through. While completely rebuilding cities is not realistic in the short term, Gill suggests that easier measures, such as turning streets into car-free zones for a short time each week, could have immediate benefits.
Questions. Number 15. What does Tim Gill imply about modern parents? Number 16. What is one thing Gill suggests that cities do?
C. Art in the Amazon. An enormous collection of primitive paintings discovered in the Amazon jungle is causing debate among scientists. Thousands of images have been discovered on rock walls, and the team of researchers who discovered them believe that they include representations of extinct creatures that disappeared after the Ice Age ended. If so, the artists may have been the first humans ever to reach the Amazon region. arriving before it was covered in rainforest. Many of the larger animals appear to be surrounded by men with their hands raised in the air, and it is suspected the animals were being worshipped. Other scientists, however, have expressed doubts regarding the age of the paintings. Since the images are extremely well preserved, these critics believe it is likely they were painted centuries rather than millennia ago. Furthermore, since the images lack detail, the scientists argue that they might represent creatures brought to the Americas by Europeans.
Questions. Number 17. What does the team of researchers believe about the paintings? Number 18. What do some other scientists think about the paintings? D. Milton Berle. Milton Berle was one of America's most famous comedians. He was successful on stage and in films, and in the 1940s, he began hosting one of the world's first television programs. Berle's variety show was known for its silly comedy and wide range of guest performers. Televisions were rare luxury items when it began, but the program was such an incredible hit that it became a driving reason behind the huge increase in TV ownership. As well as his pioneering work as an entertainer, Berle also fought for civil rights, famously helping to break down barriers against black performers appearing on TV. When an advertiser tried to prevent a black dance group from appearing on his show, Berle refused to perform until the advertiser gave in and the dancers were allowed on. Berle also set a record for appearing in more charity performances than any other performer.
Questions. Number 19. What is one thing that we learn about Milton Berle's TV show? Number 20. What is one thing Berle was known for?
E. Déjà vu. The term déjà vu refers to a person's feeling that they have already experienced the situation they are currently in. While causes for déjà vu have been proposed since the 19th century, little research was done on it until the 2000s, when the scientist Alan Brown studied the phenomenon. He found that people experience it less as they age, and that it is usually triggered by a location or setting. More recently, researchers used virtual reality to study déjà vu. They had subjects enter virtual environments, such as bowling alleys or subway stations. Some of these spaces were laid out similarly. For example, pieces of furniture with similar shapes but different appearances were arranged in the same positions. The researchers found subjects were more likely to feel déjà vu when entering new spaces that were organized like spaces they had previously entered. Still, they say this is likely just one of many factors that cause déjà vu.
Questions. Number 21. What was one of Alan Brown's findings about déjà vu? Number 22. In the virtual reality study, what led some subjects to experience déjà vu? F. The English longbow. During medieval times, one of the deadliest weapons used by English armies was the longbow. About 2 meters in length, this powerful weapon allowed an archer to fire extremely rapidly, shooting up to 6 arrows per minute. A variety of arrows were used, such as the bodkin and the broadhead. The bodkin arrow was the most common, and its narrow tip could pass through most kinds of armor. The larger broadheads, on the other hand, caused more devastating wounds to lightly armored enemies. Though highly effective, the longbow required years of practice to master. Since it was an essential tool for English armies, King Henry VIII even passed a law requiring that all healthy males train regularly in its use. Examinations of the skeletons of longbowmen have found that this training actually altered them physically. Bones in their arms became thickened, and their spines became twisted through constant use of the bow.
Questions. Number 23. What is one thing that we learn about bodkin arrows? Number 24. What does the speaker say about King Henry VIII?